the gospel which so filled us as readers, all from the beginning until now. The gospel of the one who was from the beginning, was with God, was God, the Word in flesh and embodied truth and grace, showed God's glory as no other had before. Reveal God to us. Reveal God in being at a wedding party and turning water into wine. Reveal what God is like when a mass of people go hungry and thousands get fed. Reveal what God was like when a woman is being judged and ready to be stoned and kneels down and writes in the dust and then says, "Neither do I condemn you." Who reveals God by opening the eyes of the blind, by being the good shepherd who becomes the lamb that takes away the sin of the world, the one who says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." This one who set hearts burning, desires growing deeper, and hope alive that might this one be the Messiah who will finally get Rome off of our back, will finally end this 500 plus year exile we've been living in, finally let us be free. But the story ends in the reading today like a dark parody of everything that went before. The light of the world, which enlightens all that come into it, is extinguished. The truth, which sets people free, lies buried underneath the mound of accusations and false accusations and lies. The Word, which spoke truth and grace, which showed us God's glory, this Word is silence. And the life, executed, murdered. What happens to the glory of God that this Word was to show? Does it evaporate like the morning fog? John is very clear that all that Jesus embodied about the glory of God in his life, the place that that glory is shown most clearly, was at the moment it seems to have ended most abruptly. How Jesus died on the cross, how he faced darkness, fear, terror, how he faced the worst that Rome could do, how he faced what Rome said with the cross. This cross is a symbol that you belong to me. We can do to your body what you choose. You speak, this is what happens. This is where the glory of God shines the clearest. And in most of Christian tradition, it's shown as this is where God's love opens wide for you and for me. This is where redemption and atonement take place. Charles Wesley captures this beautifully in one of his hymns. "And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" Or as one theologian puts it, that on the cross, and with the cry of dereliction, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me?" At that moment, this eternal dance of love of the Trinity stops, and a fissure cracks open. And into that fissure pours all of the suffering and evil and wrong that you and I and everyone else have done and also endured through all of history. And then it closes. And in that embrace, all that toxic pain, horror, terror gets transformed and healed. This is love unknown, love so deep and so rich that it turns the lovely into the beloved. That is a huge part of what happens. on the cross also, and kind of a window into this is this little phrase that Carolyn read earlier, where Jesus says to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it would be, then my followers would have fought." Jesus also shows us the way of salvation, how to respond when things get dark and terrifying, and we want to scramble for security and barter away our values just to have a future. He faces this darkness and this violence and these lies the same way that he lived, nonviolently, with courage, with grace, with truth. In the process, the word which spoke from the beginning changed the dominant narrative in the world. A narrative that celebrated the myth of redemptive violence, as Walter Wynn calls it. The myth that says that when things get bad, we use deeper violence, greater violence, deeper darkness to answer what comes at us. We answer in kind. And Jesus on the cross says, no. This conversation only leads, to borrow what Gandhi says, if we live by an eye for an eye, the whole world will be blind. Jesus wants to go behind the inflicting of blindness on each other to balance the scales of justice, to go behind to the blindness that lets us believe this myth of redemptive violence. Jesus says, on the cross, in his body with no words, in his attentiveness to the people around, in his forgiveness afterwards to those who have abandoned him and betrayed him, he speaks love, he speaks grace, he speaks the truth that sets free, and says to you and to me, his followers, the way that we answer this love, the way that we respond to this deep mercy that we experience on the cross, is to do exactly what Jesus invites us to do in the Synoptic Gospels, to take up our cross, to follow him the way that he faced his cross, eschewing violence, having the courage to see things through the end. Yet in my better moments, I can imagine myself trying to be faithful at times like this. Being taken outside, being beaten, I might last for one or two lashes. But when the spikes get placed into my wrists, when it gets darker and deeper, I don't think that I would stay and respond that way. My open hands to embrace the other and to forgive, I think, would reach for a sword or probably an AR-15. But not so Jesus. Because to do that which I think I would do, no matter how long I held out before I grabbed the sword, would only make sure that the conversation, the narrative, would continue. That violence would be master of all. And Jesus said, no, love should be master of all. There is enough darkness in the world. We don't need to add deeper darkness to a world already devoid of stars, as Martin Luther King Jr. said. You and I are called in our bodies to do what Jesus did in his. We are the body of Christ. In a watching world that knows the grammar of violence so well, you and I are called to speak with our bodies the grammar of grace, to live the syntax of forgiveness, to embody the narrative of Jesus, that love rules all. C.S. Lewis writes this about courage, which I think I have very little of. Courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point, which means at the point of highest reality. A The chastity or honesty or mercy which yields to danger will cease to be honest or merciful only on conditions. Pilate was merciful till it became risky. Courage, love, truth. This is the ground we're called to embody. So may God give us grace to speak well with our words, with our flesh, as a community. We are the body of Christ in the world. The world is watching. The world is cynical. May God give us grace to be faithful. Amen.